CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. A Los Angeles County coroner's report finding that ketamine was the cause of death for actor Matthew Perry back in October. The report also listed drowning, coronary artery disease, and a drug used to treat opioid addiction as contributing factors. Protests in Tel Aviv Friday after Israel's military acknowledged that Israeli forces killed three Israeli hostages in Gaza during a raid. IDF spokesman Jonathan Conricus.
We misidentified hostages for enemy combatants and sadly shot them. That is what went wrong, and that is a mistake that happened in the heat of battle.
The news sparked outrage among the public and family members of the more than 100 hostages still being held by Hamas. A Washington, D.C. jury ordering former Donald Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani to pay nearly $150 million in damages to two Georgia election workers after he was found to have defamed them. This is ABC News. Hawaii's governor planning to use thousands of vacation rental homes to house victims of the devastating August wildfire, and he's threatening a rental moratorium if owners don't offer them up at competitive rates.
Over 6,200 Maui fire victims are still living in hotels 4 months after the wildfire. Hawaii Governor Josh Green telling the state the focus now will be on moving those people to longer-term housing. Some have been resistant to move out of the hotels, and the state has not pushed. Green saying some of the 12,000 short-term vacation rentals on Maui will be relied upon to house victims.
We're making incremental moves to get people into better living situations.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Lights flickered, subway service was disrupted, and firefighters had to rescue scores of people trapped in elevators after a small explosion at an electrical facility in New York City that caused a momentary power outage just before midnight Thursday. Officials say it happened after a piece of equipment at a Brooklyn substation short-circuited. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin. The White House says the president will be in Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about his initiatives to help small businesses. It'll be Biden's third visit to Wisconsin this year, and it's a sign of how important Wisconsin is in next year's presidential race. Biden leads Donald Trump 50-48 in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. It could cost as much as $1 billion to replace all lead water lines throughout the state of Wisconsin. That's according to new estimates from the State Department of Natural Resources. There are around 150,000 lead service pipes throughout the state and another 229,000 that may have connections made out of lead. While the state did get federal funding to offset the cost, that federal money is only enough to replace around 95,000 lines. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers volleyball season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers women's volleyball team tied the match at one apiece, but the Texas Longhorns, who won the national championship last year, took over up 15-3 in the third set and never looked back. Texas advances to the NCAA finals on Sunday against Nebraska. Wisconsin returns home today with a final season record of 30 wins against just 4 losses. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with a win at home, 75-60 over Jacksonville State. NFL, the Packers have a problem. A.J. Dillon, their most productive running back this season, suffered a broken thumb in the loss to the Giants Monday night. It doesn't look good for Dillon to play Sunday against the Buccaneers.
If there's some hurt, not making it a bigger issue than it is down the road. And then the next question is, will I be able to go out there and positively impact the team with me being out there? And so, you know, we still got some days left in the week. And, you know, those questions I got to figure out myself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, some on and off rain showers and lows in the low 30s. And some rain again for tomorrow, remaining cloudy, highs in the upper 30s and a touch breezy. It looks overcast and breezy again Sunday, highs in the mid 30s. Sun's back Monday. Currently it's 37.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm going to call this a Flannel Friday. Yeah. A Georgia jury put a hit out on Rudy Friday edition. I'm wearing flannel, but the breaking news, Dom, it's breathtaking.
Rudy. Wow. 844-967-2789. You have to join us. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Crudy, Nate working the board. Maggie Dawn coming at the 5 o'clock hour. It's going to be a fun day. And yes, Rudy Giuliani ordered, according to The Hill, to pay $148 million in the election workers defamation lawsuit.
Let me ask you, if $48 million, the amount originally sought by the plaintiffs in this case, if $48 million, and Rudy's lawyer said that's effectively a death penalty. If $48 million's a death penalty, what's three times $48 million? I mean, 104. Yeah. Wow. Rudy's not going to make it through the holidays, Dom. Rudy will not live through the holidays. This jury's looking for a pound of flesh. And let me tell you, this reminds me a lot. Do you ever watch the Sopranos?
Oh, of course.
Sunday man. Night over on the HBO. They're up there still on the streaming. You younger people, go back, watch the Sopranos. The classics are the best.
Yes.
Absolutely. But there's the one episode where Tony Soprano, and I don't mean to be too colorful here on a afternoon drive show, but Tony Soprano drags a guy out of a bar by his hair, and he aligns this guy's jaw with the curb.
He puts his teeth on the curb. Yes.
Sets correct. His upper jaw on the curb and then kicks him in the back of the head. And this guy, let's just say, lost some teeth. And that is what we affectionately call curb stomping.
Affectionately? I mean, it's just what it is.
It is what it is. But this is pretty gangster, Dom. I mean, yeah. this jury wanted to bury Giuliani under Meadowlands Stadium. They put a hit out on this guy. This will kill Rudy Giuliani. If 48 million is going to kill him, 148 million is going to bury him.
Another 148. They're going to have to clean the teeth out of their slacks cuffs, Crudy. It is bad. The Hill reporting during the four-day trial, 8 Washington, D.C. residents heard harrowing testimony from the workers. So this was in D.C. Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, who said their lives were turned upside down as they faced a torrent of racist and violent threats following the accusations. Judy was found liable in the case months ago, and the jury only convened to decide how much the former federal prosecutor must pay in damages. Before deliberations began, the mother-daughter duo asked for more than $47 million. Well, they got more than $47 million, Crudy. Everyone who spread lies about Ms. Moss and Ms. Freeman should be held accountable, their lawyer said. The jury deliberated for more than 10 hours before ordering Giuliani to pay the election workers a total of $148.7 million. Moss will receive nearly $17 million for Giuliani's defamation and $20 million for his infliction of emotional distress. Freeman will receive nearly $16.2 million for defamation and $20 million for emotional distress. The mother-daughter received a total, received an additional $75 million in punitive damages. Whoo!
Here's my fear for the now successful plaintiffs. Rudy's broke. They're not getting paid. They're not getting paid. But here's
they're not going to get $148 million, but they'll get something.
Will they?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not clear what Giuliani's future lifetime earnings are if he's been disbarred effectively in D.C. and I believe New York. But here's my thought, Dom. A, he ain't paying anybody. But B, he's been petulant and he came outside the courtroom. I mean, let's not forget the other day he left the courtroom, the defamation trial, to go out and defame the defendant or the plaintiffs further.
Keeps doing it. Maybe that's why there was an additional $75 million in punitive damages.
When you're down $150 million to the house, you really shouldn't take the tone this guy takes. let me give you a little example. Nate did the hard work. He pulled the Giuliani sound for us so we could play it for you fine people. Here he is, a little petulant. It's absurd. You're absurd, Giuliani. Play cut one.
The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding, where I've not been allowed to offer one single piece of evidence in defense.
Why didn't you take the stand in your own defense?
Because the victims already went through enough, according to Giuliani's attorney. And again, much like the Trump civil fraud trial case, this was already decided. He had already been judged against. He'd been convicted essentially of this defamation, of this act, and he continued to do it, and an additional hook of $75 million. I mean, when it gets to be $148 million, Rudy. Now, my understanding, he had some condo or something worth like $6 million, and you know, there's some things probably out there that you can fire sale and get something. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be like, you know, trading places, the old guys living in the streets kind of a thing. But there are presumably assets out there. And it's a guy's shirt. Does he have insurance? Arizona Missions, perhaps? You know? You're an attorney. Come on, man.
We've got more Rudy sound. A little bit more post $148 million ruling, I believe. You know, that's when I'm always at my most confident, when I'm down $150 million to the house.
You double down, Curdy.
When my lawyer says $48 million would kill me, and I owe triple that to the house. That's when I'm at my most confident. Let's see if you can hear it in Rudy's voice. Cut number two.
So I am quite confident when this case gets before a fair tribunal, it'll be reversed so quickly, it'll make your head spin. And the absurd number that just came in will help that, actually.
The number might get knocked down. I would agree with Giuliani in some way, shape, or form. Someone could effectively nullify this jury's financial ruling, set a lower bar. That happens occasionally. Should ask Maggie Dawn about that. But reversal? Reversal of what? You were a jackass during this trial. You made yourself less than sympathetic to the jury. Rudy, the plaintiffs, here's what I see, reported Dom. Found this over at the Raw story. Specifically, when Ruby Freeman was telling the court that she could no longer use her real name, two women in the juror's box were seen getting emotional, according to Andrew Rice of New York Magazine. Rice, speaking on CNN's Laura Coates Live Thursday evening, said, for the most part, the jurors were behaving as jurors are supposed to. They didn't betray a lot of emotion. That being said, there were a couple of exceptions, according to Rice. I will say that at one point of the testimony yesterday, when Ruby Freeman, the mother, and the pair were testifying, she became very emotional. She started talking about how she really couldn't use her real name anymore. People knew who she was because of this TARDIS, right, Dom? And it was attached to her name, and she couldn't introduce herself to people. Rice added that she moved to a new place. She gave up her home, moved to a new neighborhood. She felt like she didn't have an identity anymore. The jurors reportedly responded to that. I saw one woman who was similar looking to Ruby Freeman in the sense that she was an older African-American woman, dabbing her eyes with a tissue. And then next to her, a woman was a white, middle-aged white woman also started and seemed to be quite emotional. I think that it's only an eight-person jury, so if two of the eight people are crying when the plaintiff's talking, wow, it's not good for the defendant.
No, not at all. 844-967-2789. Joseph Sibley, Giuliani's attorney throughout the trial, looked to show sympathy with the two workers while attempting to convince jurors that Giuliani should not be forced to pay huge sums for threats levied by other people. A quote from Sibley in his closing remarks. This is how he closes. I have no doubt that Mr. Giuliani's statements caused harm. No question about it. But just because these things happened, it doesn't make my clients responsible for them. Sibley did not cross-examine Freeman, but did ask questions to Moss, in particular questioning whether her diagnosis of major depressive disorder and acute stress disorder could really be linked to his client. Giuliani also opted against taking the stand after indicating for days he would testify. We feel like these women have been through enough, Sibley explained in his closing statement. But Sibley told juries that given the plaintiffs, the full requested damage would be the civil equivalent of the death penalty and mark the end of Mr. Giuliani. You have to send a message to the country that with this verdict, that we don't have a blue state and red state America when it comes to justice. Justice isn't red or blue, Sibley said. I think the jurors sent a message to America. I think they were very, very clear. And on top of the, you know, other damages, $20 million and the $75 million, $74 million in punitive damages, I think they wanted to put a cigarette out on what is and what will no longer be what is left of Rudy Giuliani.
Dom, the internet, as you might have expected, has been reacting in the last few minutes. This is quite new, breaking news. We always like to break it for you here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We air the grievances here. We got a fine friend and a fine sponsor joining us next, Ellen Robinson from Herbal Aspect. But Dom, before we get to him, here's how the internet's reacting to this news. This jury put a hit out on Rudy Giuliani. Here is what is being said. After a dramatic defamation trial over his false election claims about Georgia election workers, Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss, Rudy was found liable for $148 million. The reaction from social media, and particularly on the Twitter, Dom, was swift and mocking. Bye-bye, Rudy, posted an attorney and legal commentary, Bradley Moss, the security expert. The jury in Washington, D.C., has awarded Fulton County election workers $148,169,000 in compensatory and punitive damage against Rudy Giuliani for defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress. I had to do those calculations twice to be sure. I might have made a massive error. You know, I don't like doing math on the radio, Don, but $148 million? That's going to exceed Rudy's lifetime earnings, I got to suspect.
Well, especially at this point, he's towards the end of that career, let's call it.
Well, there's always Cameo. But what are you already doing, Dad? Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Our friend Alan Robinson bringing us some Friday 420 facts. We are the grievances. Alan ain't one of them.
Where's the money, man?
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
breaking
milk.
Breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
You're
Civic
listening
Media
to the
app.
Buzz of the North.
910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Be sure you check out the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can take it with you. You can call us, text us from the app. Listen to all the stations on the Civic Media Network. Go to your favorite app store. Look for the Civic Media app.
And Dominic, Fridays around 420, we have our friend and fine sponsor partner from Herbal Aspect, Alan Robinson, by. And Alan's traveling down to a legal marijuana state. I bet he's partying today, Dom. So he joins us live from the road. Alan Robinson, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man? Sorry to be hitting you up from the road, but when you find that you have consumption lounges in your area, you know, you got to go check out what the competition is like.
So you find yourself on the road going to Illinois, which is a legal recreational use cannabis state. Although I do find the half an ounce limitation cumbersome for out of state purchases. But anyways, man, consumption lounges.
I do not have that unfortunate encumbrance at my shop. And you can pick up just as much flour as you want. Again, what you get down in Illinois is going to be a finer quality wine, so to speak. But I dare to say my bathtub gin's just as good.
Brings all the boys to the yard, that bathtub gin you make, Alan Robinson.
Alan, the lounges, man, I want to hear a little bit more about this. My understanding, a lot of the states that have legalized, you know, the THC kind of cannabis, you can't consume in public and there's different restrictions. What are you seeing now and what's changing?
You know, first off, I'm going down to check out an eatery, so to speak, which is also a consumption lounge, right? Now, this one is black owned. And it has been in existence for the last couple of years. I just haven't had a chance to get down here to see it. Because that's the kind of thing that I want to bring back to Wisconsin. And because we're opening a new store in Monona, we might have some opportunity to do that. Now's the best time for me to get down there and do that kind of market research.
Alan Robinson, it's a little off topic, man. I saw you on the Facebooks, the social medias the other day, and you were wearing like a super cool bomber jacket, like a 420 Herbal Aspect bomber jacket. I've got to admit, perhaps the coolest jacket I've ever seen. Can I own one of those jackets, man? Is that like you got to be in the club? How do you get one of those?
You can get one. You got to go on to our website and get one, pre-order the Herbal Aspect Letterman jackets. Are available. They're fully customizable, man. You get your name on the back. It comes with the number 420 on the front, 420 on the back. It's got leather sleeves, or you can get the cloth sleeve option. They're dope, man. I'm really excited about these. They're available until December 25th for purchase. They're only like $150, and they'll all be delivered on January 15th.
You know, Dom and I both lettered on the Bong Olympic team in college.
Same. You know what? And I bet. And that, and let me, because I want to live up to the billing, right? Because there's some facts out here that, that I feel like y'all got to know in regards to how much we smoke, when we smoke, why we smoke, right? So a study came out recently that, and this isn't like the greatest of news, but it's important to talk about all of the things associated with cannabis. Cannabis exposure is linked to 1.3 times higher risk of an unhealthy pregnancy outcomes. So I have women coming into my shop all the time asking me if cannabis is going to be a cannabis edible is a good option for their morning sickness or something of that variety. And while cannabis is great for nausea, I don't think that pregnant women, and I do not suggest it, that women consume while pregnant. And now this study of more than 9,000 pregnant people from across the U.S. Has found like significant findings that indicate that there are, in fact, higher risks associated with cannabis use. So just being cognizant of how we use and when we use, everybody should get a jacket, but not everybody should smoke or consume all the time.
But what about, you know, like middle-aged, barely employed guys like Dom and I? You know, what's the limitation on guys like us, Alan?
Yeah, man, not that you have no limits with me, no limits, no judgment. Get a jacket, you get a jacket, you get a bong rip, you get a bong rip.
You're the Oprah. He's Alan Robinson. He is a sponsor and a friend of ours. He is from Herbal Aspect. They're based in Madison, but I realize not all of the audience is hearing you from Madison, Alan. And for those that would be curious, because you are legal, you're selling a legal cannabis product under both state and federal laws, you can mail these products. These can be mail ordered. They can be ordered from the herbalaspect.com website. So all of the people that hear your voice right now, they're potential clients of yours, Alan.
Oh, absolutely, man. We ship it, get it to you in a discreet package in just a couple of days. And we've got that down to a science. That's actually how we started. So our mail order business is big, and but it's big. And it can get bigger. Got these gummies flying out, man.
Alan, I got to admit, I'd like to think I'm an expert, but more of a amateur at the cannabis thing. You know, I've been doing a long-term longitudinal study, but, you know, not really writing down the results. But I do perceive you as something of a cannabis expert, and I know that you've been doing the consultations, and you're doing them for our listeners for free. And, you know, I don't mean to be like a boomer of weed, but it's good to know the right answers and figure out what might be the right consumption for you and what you're comfortable with and what goals you might have through this consumption. So, Alan, you're still doing the consultations here for the holidays. People could be the best gift giver on the entire block.
Oh, man, you're absolutely right. Just real quick here, you know, knowing what you are trying to accomplish with your cannabis use and then pairing that with the right cannabinoid profile is incredibly important. You might not want to get as stony as a college kid. So understanding what milligram dosages to kind of step into, that's really where we want to be with those cannabis consultations. And, of course, Devil Radio listeners get those for free. You just type in the code Devil Radio at checkout, and you'll get that benefit.
Alan, if you could help cast us, you know, safely somewhere between Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg, you know, that's the range I like to be for the holidays. Can you find me somewhere to fall in that range?
Oh, man, I'll get you high as a research monkey. We've got concentrates. You can go to Sputnik. It all depends on what your consumption level is, where you want to be. And, yes, I can absolutely get you there. Me? Well, I'll be somewhere right past Mars.
Well, be careful on the roads out there. Safe travels down to the land of Lincoln, the flatlands to our south. Right, well, I'm not implying you are, but I didn't imply you were driving either, just on the road. Be careful out there, my friend. Have a great weekend. Alan Robinson from the Herbal Aspect. Find them online. One of our fine sponsors, herbalaspect.com. More Devil's Advocates, Friday Grievances. Yours could be next, 844-96-PARTY.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. A Los Angeles County coroner's report finding that ketamine was the cause of death for actor Matthew Perry back in October. The report also listed drowning, coronary artery disease, and a drug used to treat opioid addiction as contributing factors. Protests in Tel Aviv Friday after Israel's military acknowledged that Israeli forces killed three Israeli hostages in Gaza during a raid. IDF spokesman Jonathan Conricus.
We misidentified hostages for enemy combatants and sadly shot them. That is what went wrong, and that is a mistake that happened in the heat of battle.
The news sparked outrage among the public and family members of the more than 100 hostages still being held by Hamas. A Washington, D.C. jury ordering former Donald Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani to pay nearly $150 million in damages to two Georgia election workers after he was found to have defamed them. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrence Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, some on and off rain showers and lows in the low 30s. And some rain again for tomorrow, remaining cloudy, highs in the upper 30s and a touch breezy. It looks overcast and breezy again Sunday, highs in the mid 30s. Sun's back Monday. Currently it's 37.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat! Come on! Okay.
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You made it till Friday. We survived, Dom.
Well done,
everybody. Thriving here on the radio airwaves. Thank you to our friend, Alan Robinson, Herbal Aspect. And looking forward to being joined by the incomparable Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, Milwaukee County Corporation Council. And most importantly, our friend joins us in the Happier Happy Hour.
So yeah, it's been too long.
No grievances about that whatsoever. But if you got some grievances, and you know it is the custom, we air them here on the airwaves. It is the Festivus season, Dom.
It and indeed I is.
Do have a lot of problems with you people.
Now you're going to hear about it.
844-967-2789. But I'd like to throw one out there. Worst Congress ever.
Ever?
This is the headline, Dana Milbank at the Washington Post. Not even my opinion. Dana Milbank, right. Columnist at the Post. A year ago, Milbank writes, I assigned myself to the Capitol to cover the new House Republican majority, suspecting that this erratic crowd of lawmakers would provide some lively material. You know, we're all in it for the material, Dom. They did not disappoint. What I could not have known then, however, was that this would turn out to be the most ineffective session of Congress in nearly a century, and quite possibly in all of American history.
Oh, wow.
The year began with chaos and incompetence. It ended with chaos and incompetence.
Consistency.
They're consistent, these Republicans, Dom. In between were self-created crisis and shocking moments of fratricide interspersed with more chaos and incompetence. Here's a quote, Dom. John Nagese, Democrat of Colorado, he observes, this will go down as the least productive Congress since the Great Depression. How well they're doing. Nagese almost certainly understates the case. While it's true, as Huffington Post Jonathan Nicholson points out, that Congress got even less done in 1931, this is only because it didn't start its session that year until December. It seems probable that no Congress in American history has spent so much time accomplishing so little as this one.
Oh, wow.
It's like a Congress about nothing, Dom. What do House Republicans have to show the voters for their year in power? Well, a bipartisan debt deal on which they promptly reneged to avoid a default crisis which they themselves created. A pair of temporary spending bills, both passed with mostly Democratic votes, to avert a government shutdown crisis that they themselves created.
Consistency.
The ouster of their speaker, nearly a month-long shutdown of the chamber as they sought another, and the expulsion of one of their members, who is now negotiating himself a plea deal and making sweet, sweet cameo money. Santos doing better there than he did in the Congress, Dom. And among the 22 bills in 2023 that became law as this week was the landmark legislation known as H.R. 3672 to designate the Clinic of the Department of Veterans Affairs in Indian River, Michigan, as the PFC, Justin Patton Department of Veterans Affairs Clinic, also H.R. 5110, the Protecting Hunting Heritage and Education Act, which authorized federal education funds to purchase or use dangerous weapons for instruction.
Wow.
These are the important, Dom, the important things this worst Congress ever working on. Wow.
Crudy Milbank continues from the Washington Post. On Thursday, the House, exhausted from its labors, recessed for a three-week vacation.
We're going to Disneyland.
Leaving behind a pile of urgent, unfinished business, including funds to arm Ukraine and fortify the southern border. When the lawmakers return, they will have just 8 legislative days to pass something to avoid the latest government shutdown, on which they have made no progress so far. But before rushing home for the holidays, Republicans did manage to approve, in a party-line vote, a formal impeachment inquiry into Biden for imaginary crimes that even they could not identify. It's been an up-and-down year, Majority Leader Steve Scalise said in a year-end news conference. He was half right. The quote continues.
Yeah, what was the up part? What was the up part, Steve?
Getting rid of McCarthy, I guess. I know for those of you in the press, there's never been a week where it was boring for you, Milbank writes. This was true. Next year is going to be just as busy, he went on. That shouldn't be hard. He acknowledged there's talk about how hard it's been, but he blamed the Democratic Senate for the inaction. Nice try, Milbank writes. This Senate, with a similar majority, was highly productive in the last Congress. And Congress, even under divided government, has routinely found ways to function until this gang took over the House. The final week was typical. In the Senate, Democrats and Republicans fervently negotiated a compromise that would allow the United States to keep sending arms to Ukraine to help Ukraine fight off Russia's invasion while also toughening U.S. border policies. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer pleaded with Speaker Mike Johnson to keep his chamber in session so that the emergency spending package could be passed before year end. Johnson refused, prompting Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell to say it would be practically impossible to pass the desperately needed bill. Likewise, Johnson, who, as Punchbowl News noted, has proved to be unwilling or unable to make tough decisions, couldn't decide which of two competing bills of the House should pass to reauthorize a program known as Section 702 that falls under a FISA Act and is vitally important to national security. So he scheduled House votes on them both, which caused the House Republican caucus to devolve Monday night into yet another round of bickering, with Rep. Warren Davidson from Ohio accusing Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner of effing lying. Once again paralyzed, House GOP leaders yanked both bills from consideration on the floor. Instead, they moved on to the Duck Stamp Modernization Act of 2023, no doubt a matter of great importance to waterfowl hunters.
Well, that way you can get your duck stamp on your cell phone, Dom. It's important stuff they're doing this Congress.
They're getting their ducks in a row. The dysfunction shows every sign that it will continue in the new year. The House Freedom Caucus, whose members routinely kneecap Republican leaders and derail proceedings in the House in 2023, just elected their new leader, Rep. Bob Good from Virginia, one of the most doctrinaire members of the caucus and one of the eight Republicans who ousted Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. He now leads the Freedom Caucus. Davidson, in a letter to colleagues intercepted by Axios, alluded to Good's bomb-throwing tendencies and asked that the group prayerfully consider electing someone else. They went on with the legislative terrorists anyway. Dana Milbank, just lighten up this ne'er-do-well House, this Congress, the worst Congress ever? Question mark? You can find the piece posted up at the Devil's Advocates radio page. They go on. There's the Hunter Biden stuff. There's all that. They're, of course, they're impeaching. You're not going to be very transparent about it, right? They don't really articulate any specific charges. And from what we read yesterday, some of the corporation payments to the grandsons were of what? A couple hundred bucks, $100, $400, $500, something along those lines. And don't forget, the paying back of the truck loan. Very, 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 very mysterious, these Republicans. And we renamed some VA clinics. So, can't say they're not doing anything. Is that governance? Is that progress? Are we moving the country forward?
They're doing the Lord's work, Dom. Virginia Fox, we talked about her yesterday, making her pitch for whole milk. Stop shutting me up, Virginia Fox. She was making a pitch for whole milk because that's what Santa takes. But what we missed and what I saw later in the evening, and I apologize to the audience right now, we brought you an incomplete context. Because Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's own from the third.
Yeah.
He also went up there and cracked on almond milk and all other variant forms of milk because they don't come from mammals. Do you ever remember that Meet the Parents? Can you milk? I'm a mammal. Can you milk? I have nipples. Can you milk me?
Yeah, you can milk anything with nipples. I have nipples. Can you milk me? Oh, no, we missed Derek Van Norton. He got in on it, too.
Oh, yeah.
So Derek Van Norton from Wisconsin.
Literally, the argument was you can milk a mammal. If it's not a mammal, it's not milk. That was the, I paraphrase slightly, but that was the literal argument. Somehow we missed that sound. We didn't share.
I think there was at some point, and I don't know, an argument like that products made from that were not, true mammal milk that couldn't be called milk. There was try to do some sort of legal, issue where they couldn't label it as such. And I don't think it went anywhere. I don't think that's the case because I still get some almond. And I tried almond milk. And, sometimes you go to a coffee shop, they don't have necessarily, they have whole milk and maybe almond milk or something else. So I try to mix it up, but I do like the traditional cow milk, generally speaking. But why is this in consideration on the House floor? Well, why do they care what Santa drinks?
Because otherwise, they've got to.
Could you milk me?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they've got to talk about the impeachment of Joe Biden. And they've got to talk about what? The fact that, you know, their plan to fund the government really comes crashing down in like 3 weeks. 844-967-2789.
Eight legislative days when they return from Christmas holiday break to keep the government open. Good luck with that. Raring to go when they get back.
The most important topic discussed on the House floor this week, whether or not you can milk Derek Van Orden, because he's a mammal. John from Boaz. John, you live in Van Orden's district, don't you?
Hey, John.
I'm not sure about that. But
you ever considered milking your congressman?
Ever. I have a couple of grievances about him, if I can.
Sure.
All right. Lay it on us, brother.
There's two grievances. I'll let you pick which one. The first one is what the Catholic nuns did to my father. And the second one is our economy is supposed to be going in a recession. But because the federal government gave us $4 billion of funny money, that's $40 million earning interest. But nobody's talking about it.
John, I'm not clear what...
So which one?
Well,
I'd rather talk about the economy, John, but, you know, that's...
John, I'm not sure where your math comes from, but I know there has been tons of infrastructure investment, first in a bipartisan fashion, but also without the help of any Republicans. I know that Joe Biden, the president of the United States, is coming to Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about the surge in small business growth that's happened through the last couple of years. A lot of people never went back to the office after COVID. They started their own companies. And I think the state of Wisconsin, John, has been really great in some of their policies, the bounce back grants and the Main Street grants extended from the state government through a lot of community partnerships. But I've told the story a few times, went up to Amory, Wisconsin, had the responsibility to find commercial office space in a town of about 2,200 people, about an hour, I guess it's to the east from Minneapolis, but it's, you know, the Wisconsin side of the river. And I went up to Amory and I started looking at real estate and everything's rented. The entirety of Main Street was full. I went out to the strip mall. We finally ended up between the hardware store and the grocery store for our little radio station up there, 1260 AM. And now on the FM dial at 104.7 FM, I do believe.
Yeah, awesome.
Finally got the FM working 24/7 in Amory. So very excited about that. But the business climate there, there had been 31 bounce back grants extended in $10,000 increments on Main Street Amory in a town of 2,200. And all those vacant storefronts that, you know, just make your town look blighted, they're full. They're vibrant. Downtown Amory is hopping, man. And I got to tell you, I was the guy signing the commercial leases for Civic Media in so many of these different markets, Tom. I signed 9 commercial leases last year. And it was a struggle to find good real estate because this was such a successful program. It made downtown little mom-and-pop real estate shops very competitive. These small shops, these small businesses where you would want to be on Main Street, that's where Civic Media want to be, right on hometown Main Street. Just me and every other small business owner
right.
Coming out of the pandemic. So Wisconsin's done it right, John, particularly right. And I would always compare that and contrast that to how the last administration did it, which was Foxconn. And you know I hated that guy, Wanker. Come back, more devils. Love you when you call 844-967-2789.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can always join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. I know we got some callers holding, but I also want to throw this out there. I think John from Boia was talking about the debt and the interest in these things. And I brought this up recently. I want to throw it out there again. AmericanProgress.org from March of 2023. Tax cuts are primarily responsible for the increasing debt ratio. I'm not going to get into it deep, but I would suggest checking it out. I'll put up on the socials. All their data is marked for your own confirmation and research. The need to increase the debt limit, again, this is in March, has focused attention on the size and trajectory of the federal debt. Long-term projections show that federal debt as a percentage of the U.S. economy is on a path to grow indefinitely with increased non-interest spending due to demographic changes such as increasing life expectancy, declining fertility, and decreased immigration, and rising health care costs permanently outstripping revenues under projections based on current law. House Republican leaders have used this fact to call for spending cuts, but it does not address the true cause of rising debt. Tax cuts initially enacted during Republican trifectas in the past 25 years slashed taxes disproportionately for the wealthy and profitable corporations, severely reducing federal revenues. In fact, relative to earlier projections, spending is down, not up, but revenues are down significantly more. If not for the Bush tax cuts and their extensions, as well as the Trump tax cuts, revenues would be on track to keep pace with spending indefinitely, and the debt ratio would be declining. Instead, these tax cuts have added $10 trillion to the debt since their enactment and are responsible for 57% of the increase in the debt ratio since 2001 and more than 90% of the increase of the debt ratio if the one-time cost of bills responding to the COVID-19 and the Great Recession are excluded.
That's new
tax
news.
Of course, man. It's revenue. You're addressing the revenue side of it, and I get, you know, spending. I understand that, but you know, if even just with inflation, spending is going to go up. But you know, they do the tax cuts, and they don't do any subsequent. They being the government, those that are in charge, and certainly some Democrats voted for these tax cuts as well. But this is primarily a Republican thing. And if that were not to be the case, we wouldn't be talking about these ratios. We wouldn't talk about this indefinite debt rising. Well, look what we've done. And we've done that. And we hit the revenue side and not adjusted the expense side, the cost side, the spending side. And it's, oh, this is terrible. Well, did you think about that when you passed the bills?
Remember when we were on Brady Street, you know, old Resistance Radio days back when Ron Johnson used to come around. And Ron came around in like 2017-18 timeframe, feeling very good about himself, I believe 2018, because Ron Johnson, through his singular intransigence, had changed the Trump tax cut proposals to include tax cuts for designated S corporations. Now, I'm not expecting you all to be accountants, but that means mostly small businesses that pass through to the owner. So I was at that time a designated S corporation, and if we had ever been profitable in the radio industry, it would have passed through to my personal income taxes. I've had profitable companies prior. That just didn't happen to be one of them. But anyways, Ron came down and he was so proud. Crudy, I did this for us, because Ron claimed himself PacCor. Then he was part of his father-in-law's family business, sort of a captive audience, his single supplier business. But anyways, Ron also apparently a designated S Corp. But what Ron never broke to us is, so were a couple of other prominent Republican donors. The Uline family, Dick and Liz, big donors, and the widow Hendricks happened to also structure their corporations as designated S Corps. So had I ever made a little bit of profit, I would have gotten a slightly fairer tax calculation. But I've always said there's a greater benefit to be a small business owner, to have this structure in place, because I get to claim my expenses. I get to go spend as much money as I can on business stuff and then pay taxes. That's different from the average working stiff, where the government takes your money and every nickel you spend is after tax. That's a different, it's a different deal. So it was already, to my perception, a slightly better deal to be a small business owner than a laborer. But now it's a much better deal, especially if you're the Ulines or the Widow Hendricks and you've had very profitable, successful small businesses that are also designated S. Because as I remember the math, Dom, and memory's usually pretty good. Fridays gets a little sketchy, but usually pretty good. In the singular tax year 2018, those two families saved something to the tune of $200 million. $200 million in a single filing. Two families saved $200 million through that alteration in the tax codes, singularly established through the intransigence of Ron Johnson. Proud to tell us, did it for us, Crudy. You and I and the Ulines and the Widow Hendricks. And I don't think I blew up the tax codes, Dom. If I save $5,000, $1,500 that year, great. I don't even know that I did. But the Ulines and the Widow Hendricks saved $200 million in that tax filing year alone. Now multiply that through, what, half a decade we've lived since then? Starts to add up to some real money, Dom, like $1 billion through two tax filers alone. And the fact that they reimbursed Ron, well, they don't call it that. That'd be untoward.
Of course, can't do something like that.
They turned around and gave beneficial donations to the campaign of Ron Johnson to the amount of like $21 million. That's like a 10% kickback. That's what you do, right, Dom?
You scratch my back, you know, one hand washes the other. They both wash it a face.
We've got some callers holding, but there was a PolitiFact on Ron. Wanted to get this out. Caitlin Collins asked Ron the other day, and we've got a PolitiFact on this statement that Ron made. Play it for the people.
Sells out of a nuisance lawsuit. They agreed to get to settle a nuisance lawsuit that never should have been brought.
So you think it's fine that someone...
It's a harassment lawsuit. It's a travesty of justice.
You think it's fine that someone who tried to overturn a legitimate election is still on a
Democrat
board
electors have done
certifies.
That repeatedly. Democrats have done...
Which
Democrats
one?
Have done the same thing.
In Wisconsin,
tried
there's
to
been fake slates of electors?
No, it's happened in different states.
I didn't come prepared
to give you the exact states, but it's happened repeatedly. It has happened repeatedly. Just go check the books.
Which books?
I mean, there have been alternate slates of electors.
So he says it's happened repeatedly. Democratic false slates of electors. PolitiFact, cutting to the chase, says that is wrong. His own aide acknowledged that Johnson meant to make a different point, a more general one about Democrats objecting to past election results. And in any case, none of the evidence provided by Johnson matches the original claim. We rate Rojo false. Shocker, Tom. Come back. Maggie Dawn, she never gets it wrong when she's on the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's her greatest decision ever. She's next.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Time out.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.